taping. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Okay, I just want to read the last verse of the previous parak that speaks of Uzziyahu dying. Like he's dying a second time because Uzziyahu was stricken with leprosy, and Yeshayahu refers to him as dying as a result. Right? Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uzziyahu. Is the year that he would, in the Targum on that pasuk reads it naga, which means that when he was received afflicted with leprosy. So this is where he really died. Now when Uzziyahu was stricken with leprosy, he was taken to what's called a base chofshis. He was taken to a halfway house where he could be in seclusion but in comfort. And his son Yotam started to act as king. He was the acting king.
Oh, yeah.
But the years of his kingship, which was starting off in the next chapter, where it says he ruled for 16 years, that's the amount of time he ruled after his father passed away. Mm-hmm. But he ruled for some time during the reign of his father as well.
Is he one of those, you know, the ones who didn't sin?
He's considered the most righteous of all the kings. Yotam. He's not listed in the Gemara as the four who never sinned. That would be Binyamin, Kilav, Yishai, and Amram. But
probably impossible not to sin.
Yeah. It says he adhered to Torah and traditions, regained lost strength of Judah, strengthened the country's defenses, subdued rebellious neighbors.
So he comes when?
So he just ruled up for a short amount of time.
Comes after Uzziyahu?
Comes after Uzziyahu, yeah. See, Yotam. Is where he is. He's this one right there. It's amazing. He's so wonderful. He had a very bad son. We'll see about him shortly. Achatz. It's really very bad. Okay.
What are we up to?
Okay, we're up to chapter 27.
26 or
27? 27. So 26 ends by Yishkav Uzziyahu im Avosav. Uzziyahu died. They buried so im Avosav. They buried him with his fathers. Bistei hakfura asher l'malachim. Ki amru mitzorahu. It means although he was mitzorah, he was. They buried him with his burial of his fathers. So his son Yotam, who was, I guess, as I just said, acting as king, he was the acting king, right? But he's not called king until his father actually passed away. Ben 25 shana Yotam b'malcho, v'sheishesre shana malach b'Yerushalayim, v'shem imo Yerusha bas Tzadok. It's a nice, interesting name, Yerusha. Okay, he ruled for 16 years. He died at a young age of 41, as good as he was. All right. In fact, he's one of the youngest ages of all the kings of Judah. Some kings of Judah don't even become king until they're that age. Okay, you know, the only exceptions would be Yehoram and Ahaziah, those two were the sons of. I'm sorry, of Atalia. Do you remember when the two came to try to unite? Okay. Vayasa Yashar Bene Hashem, Kechol Asher Asa Uzziyahu Aviv. He did what was right in the eyes of God, just as his father Uzziyahu had done. Rak Lo Ba Eleichal Hashem. Now, this is not saying that it was a bad thing. That, you know, his father was a good king, except that one mishigas that got in his head about going into the Heichal in order to Taurus. There was an earthquake, he was stricken with leprosy. But what's happening here is that he just didn't do what his father did. Like, to just describe. The Od Ha'am Mashchisim, very cryptic. The people continued to do what? Mashchisim. Wow. Didn't you have a sin?
Is that correct?
Destructive corruption. Mashlisim, the Gemara usually leaves for the most, the worst types of averos. Usually, agili arayos, navodah zara. Right? Yishchis kol ha'aretz. Generally, it's, just corruption. Right? Corruption was rampant. Now, how do you have a good king? Because the fish usually smells from the head. Is it possible to have an innocent good king, but yet this corruption unbeknownst to him?
Yeah.
Could be. The person at the top usually isn't stupid enough to make tapes of everything he's saying, right? Like Nixon.
Oh.
If he hadn't made those tapes, he wouldn't have been implicated. You can always just say, I didn't know anything about this, which is, what they all say. I learned about it in the papers. I didn't know anything about this. Right? Some of our own dear leaders tend to say.
Yeah.
Right? Make sure that they can't be implicated.
So isn't that the point of the
ode
is against him, really?
The ode ha'am ha'shrisim. Well, it could be that because his father was also good. It's not like it continued from his father's time. There's no indication that this Uzio did anything worse than anyone before him. Remember, we had Amatzia turned bad at the end, and Uzio, became haughty at the end, but things were relatively good in Yehuda. Right? The only thing is that the parallel kingdom of the northern tribes is soon coming to an end. Right? There are still some traditional enemies that have gotten quite strong. That would be Aram. Right? But at this early point, just starting to move into the new great power that's about to arise, which is Ashur, Assyria. Okay? Alright, so let's read on. Hu bana es shar beis Hashem ha'elyon, v'chomas ha'ofel bana larov. Alright? This chomas ha'ofel is actually described in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Alright? It was one of the towers at one of the walls. It's described in Malachim in Malachim Beis, okay, there's a reference to it. All right, so he built this Chomas HaOfel, and he built exceedingly. He made really built up Yerushalayim, as his father had done. Even Uziyahu Migdolim Yerushalayim, remember? Varim bana Bahar Yehuda v'Chorashim bana Biraniyos u'Migdolim, and he really fortified the land. You see these few little descriptions of him, that he Israel was weakened by the indiscretions of the previous kings. Right? Okay, he had artisans and craftsmen building. Biranios Migdolim. These are towers and fortified walls, fortified buildings. V'hu nilcham im melech b'nei Amon v'yechazak aleihem, and he fought against the Ammonites, he prevailed against them. V'yitznu lo b'nei Amon v'ashana hi me'ok yikar kesef v'aseres alofim korim chitim u'sarim aseres alofim. And the Ammonites were put to exorbitant tribute. A kikar kesef, a kikar is very heavy. Right, a lot of shkalim, tens of thousands of shkalim. Right. And 10,000 korim. Kor is 15 saw. That's quite a bit. Right. Kor is about a third of the water of a mikvah. So 10,000 of those, it's a lot of wheat. That's different. That's a furnace. It's core is a weight, a measure. Zos teishivu lo b'nei Amon uvashna shenis vashlishis. This is what the Ammonites were put to, this tribute, and they did so for the first year, the second year, and the third year. Vayischazek your son, ki yechin drachav divnei Hashem Elokav. This is vintage Divrei Yamim. Anyone who... The text is so always so quick in Divrei Yamim to point to the relationship between righteous behavior of a king and the success of Israel. Makes no shortage of the opposite, where the king is not righteous, and look what happens.
I'm wondering, why did he go to war? There's no reason except just to get the money. It doesn't say why here.
Ammon, Moab had fought a battle against us just before this. So Ammon and Moab tended to fight together, where they started off as brothers. What's interesting is that we spoke talked about this Monday night. Edom was fighting with us at this time, strangely. Edom joined us in a battle against Moab. It's very interesting. Okay. That's what we used, if you recall, on Monday night to show that the Ovadia, if he was an Edomite convert, as Chazal say, fine, they have a tradition, so why would he speak about the Edomite destruction and fall just at a time where we are peaceful with one another and fighting on the same side? It appeared to be a bit anachronistic of him to say such a thing. We use that to call for a later assessment of when Ovadia of Treasar lived. Okay, whether he's the same as the Obadiahu that appears in the beginning of Malachim Beis with Elisha. Okay, V'yeser Divrei Yosam V'chom Lecham Osav V'drachav Hinam K'suvim Asef V'machei Yisrael V'Yehuda. Right, we have a nice fortification of Yotam's deeds. You find them in the Sefer Malachim. Ben 25 Shana Haya B'Malcho V'16 Shana Malach B'Yerushalayim. Now why does it tell you that again? You just told me. It's a very nice short chapter here. So why do I need to know again how old he was and how many years he ruled? Because Pasuk Chet is just pretty much a repeat, except his mother's name, of Pasuk Aleph. Okay, the reason some of Farshim give is that Yosam really ruled twice. He ruled while his father was alive, at a pretty young age, and he ruled while he was king himself. So the repeat is just to tell you that the years we gave you is not subsumed by anything he did for his father. These are totally separate years. These are the years he ruled alone after his father died. Died, so Achaz was 20 when he took over. V'sheishes reishan amalach b'Yerushalayim, he too ruled for 16 years. V'lo asah yeshar b'nei Hashem ki David aviv. Did not do what was righteous in the eyes of God like David his father, or for Yotam his father for that matter either, for sure. V'yelech b'darchei malchei Yisrael, he went in the path of the kings on this side of the page. Gam Masechos Osola Be'olim. It's an interesting thing. What do you mean Masechos? What are Masechos? The Torah talks about Egel Masecho. Now today I think a Masecho is a mask. Maybe that's mask Masecho. It's almost phonetically similar. Right. So mask is a cover. Masecho is that it's a cover. It's a facade. It's
a gold faded.
Something that's not real. Now, what's more likely is that the word masecha is related to the word nesech, or yosech, because you have to pour a molten metal into a mold. The mold cools off and it hardens, and that's how you get the mask or the image. Okay, well, it's two different opinions of what it is. Right, what does it mean here? He made Masechos Osola Be'olim. I think the simple explanation is he made molds and he made figures. You know, he did what's what the Jews aren't supposed to do. Made molten idols for Baal. It says Baal as opposed to Lasola Be'olim. Baal was one of the chief gods in the ancient world.
Yeah.
We've had Baal with the Nolachov and the Zevel and Eliyahu fighting against Baal. Remember? That's why in Sefer Hosea, God says, he talks about his loving relationship with his people, and he said, "You will no longer call me your I'm your Baal, but I'm your Ish." Right. So Rashi says to us, "But Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem," but because of the other usage, to Bnei Yisrael, God was just another Baal. What is God after all?
Master.
Yeah, the master, but the owner, so to say. But what did the ancients want from their gods? I'll exchange my worship of you for your protection, for your you making my crops work and. Give a little whammy to the next people that come to try to invade. So people attributed their own strength as a function of their gods' strength. If their temple was sacked, that means that the god must be too weak to defend himself. Right? Give us the necessary strength. All right. Okay. So whatever form this takes, he made graven images. We're not allowed to make a graven image even of Hashem. Bnei Israel did that. That was the golden calf. We can't represent even God with anything. V'hui tir begei ben hinom, are they? That's a bad place. He offered incense, or he was maktir, means he brought up. Gei ben hinom. You see the word there? That's Gehenna. We call it hell, Gehenna, because of that. Gehino, they're going to take out the Ben. Now we know exactly where this is now. This is now they have very expensive apartments there. It's right across, from the Mamila Mall. You go down the hill from there. You go out the Yaffa Gate and you make a sharp left and you go down the hill. You can go,
it's not like near.
They do concerts there now. They have art shows there. In the valley in between. Sharashbot. Sharashbot is where the buses go in.
But like the
Air
David, you go to
Sharashbot,
so it's not around there.
No, that's the other side. It's on the other side of it. See, when you get to the bottom of the hill, and you could turn right and then go back up to Emek Rephaim, right? So hotels there. Where is that? David Gross was married, right? I don't think buses and cars can go back up around the wall. They can only go back down, I think. Right? I don't think you can go back up that way. Maybe wrong. I don't know. But that's how we walk home from Shire, the Lion's Gate. Mm-hmm. And you come out this winding path. We're staying like in the Pinsker building or something. You can walk up through the windmill, through those steps. There's a lot of steps up there to go back up. It saves you up a good 45 minutes of walking all the way around.
You actually go to Shar HaAriyot, that building. No, but I always wondered why any Jewish person would go there when it's like all hours.
Well, you don't go there anymore.
No, the Lion's Gate is not so bad. No, you have to walk through a Christian area to get out. But we always do. We just did that. We walked through Shar Yaffa the last time.
Yaffa's better.
You can do that now. Really?
I think so.
The Yaffa Gate through the Arab Shuk is better than...
No, you don't go through the Shuk. You just make a right.
Oh, no. We went through the Shuk.
Straight through the Shuk. We got the wrong way.
Yeah, no. A couple of years ago, we went out Shar Damascus Gate. Shem. You know, we you go out to get, it's such a shortcut to get to Chani's house. No, when she used to live in Sanhedrin, it saves you also 45 minutes. It's crazy. It's, you know, and people walk around. You know. So it's a big. If you saw on a map, instead of doing this, you're doing this.
So they just had this week, I think, the guy was there, and he was at Shar Ariel.
Lionsgate? I read about that, but I didn't.
In the Muslim quarter, then he, I think he walked himself over.
Yeah, but, okay, I might be mistaken, but I thought the Lionsgate is not anywhere near the. There are a lot of Arab shops there.
But it's
true. But
it's more Christian than Muslim.
Yeah, I think so. It's Armenian there, I think.
I think that's like the Armenian.
Yeah, you know, the lines get beefy when you go.
Armenian is a Sharia.
I think here's what I'm saying. If you go out from the Rova, right? Go out to the parking lot. You know the parking lot right there, right? So go up the steps and keep going down. I think it's called Rehov Chabad. Maybe there.
Right.
Keep making left and go around. That's the lines gate right there. And the end there. More people just go straight up, and they go out like St. John Street or something, and then you're right to make a right, and you go to the upper gate from there. Which we're doing to old city topography here. All right, so that is where he was offering this right outside the upper gate, he was offering this incense. And we call it Gei Ben Hinnom because of what we call it Gehenim, because of what Yirmiyahu talks about in chapter 7 of his book, is that child sacrifice was taking place there.
Yeah, apparently he did it too.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. And they called it Gei HaTofim, the valley of drum beats, because they had to drown out the cries of the children.
Oh.
These very loud drums.
Oh.
Imagine how assimilation. I mean, it's one thing to assimilate to do something that at least is some kind of bodily pleasure, if you will. You know, that's harmful and that's. But to assimilate to the point of killing your children, because that's what the gods do, and this is a lot of people in the Middle East who still worship that god. It's called Molech.
They don't sacrifice their children.
No, they put suicide belts on them, and they're very happy with it that they go. Vayavair es banav vayish. He burned his son in fire. My goodness, the descendant of David HaMelech, the king. He lied to be king. Ketoivos hagoyim asher harish Hashem mipnei Yisrael. He did all like the abominations of the nations that were displaced when the Israelites went to Canaan. Vayizbach vayikater babamos valgvaos vatachas kol Yitzra'anon. And he just said, such a short time. How does it happen? How do your father's Yosam and you do this? How does it get so depraved that he's.
You know, the verbs are in Pia. Yeah. So it's like with the strength, you know, not just by Yizbach, not just by.
Right.
By Yaktir.
These are Beach. It means that these are always more emphatic. There are different types of tenses in Hebrew that make one word much more emphatic.
I was wondering if it could be because his father didn't get rid of the corruption. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what corruption they meant, but
yeah.
I don't know.
He inherited something, right? Okay, so we could vayikater vayizabeach is better than vayizbach vayikta, you know, vayaktir, better meaning more emphatic. Like vayikpots is to jump, vayikapets is to jump a lot. Quickly. Vahi bishloach paro would mean he sent. Bishalach paro means get out of here, you know. Right. Okay, so Batachas Kol Yitzra'anon, and under all the leafy trees, because when it's hot, you stand on some of those leafy trees, a small wind blows, it's like an air conditioner under there. Vayitzneu Hashem Elokav biyad melech Aram. So, of course, what happens in Divrei Yamim when someone turns away from God is that God delivers him quickly into the hands of an enemy. They smote him and they took a great number of captives. And not only that, Ahaz was threatened by the king of the northern tribes too. Whoa, how's that? That hasn't happened for a while, but okay, the two kingdoms often fought. It says, Vayachbo Makkah Gedolah. So you see across this Pekach. Pekach, you see?
Right? Okay.
Now, Dibur HaYamim has really, really just glossed over all these northern tribes, kings. All these guys before him. Pekachia, Menachem, Shalom, Zechariah, Yeruvim II, Yehoachod, Yehoash, Yehu. What happened to all these guys? These are big stories in Melachim Beis. Yehu, who wiped out all of Ahav's descendants.
Uh-huh.
And Hashem told him, you'll get four kings from you, because you obeyed me, but Yehu turned bad too, as usual. So Yehu, you see Yehoachaz, Yehoash, that's 1, 2. Then Yeravam the second, who really was ruled for a long time and enhanced the borders of Israel tremendously. Yeravam II, and then Zechariah ruled for a very short time and was assassinated by Shalom, who in turn was assassinated by Menachem, who ruled a short, brutal rule, who was in turn replaced by Pekachia, his son, who himself was assassinated by Pekach, who himself was assassinated by Hoshea. You see, those four of the last six kings of the northern tribes have a big sword by them, right?
Uh-huh.
It means that four of the last six kings of Israel were assassinated by the next king.
Wow.
That's a rogue, very roguish nation. Just being assassinated doesn't mean you're a roguish nation. The country has had its assassinations too. But to appoint Lee Harvey Oswald as the next president, or John Wilkes Booth as the next president, that's roguish. The one who kills the previous leader becomes the next leader. Right? That now you're talking Cuba. Talking, you know what I'm saying? Talking in the Arab world, that's how power you. Where's power been seated peacefully in the Arab world recently? I think Saudi Arabia is going to have a vote about unseating the king. All right. So not only did Ahaz fall to the king of Aram, he also fell to the king of the northern tribes. Is Hashem Elokeinu. So huge number to lose in one day. Vayarog Zichri Gibor Ephraim Es Maseu Ben HaMelech Bezazrikam Nikit Abayis Bez Elkanah Mishnei HaMelech. I don't know, Ahaz must have been king for quite a while by this time, because he was only 36 when he died. Right? And in battle he had a son who was killed. How old did they send their sons to battle? וישבו בני ישראל מאחיהם 200,000 נשים, בנים ובנות, וגם שלול רב בזזו מהם, והביאו את השלול לשומרון. Wow. They killed 120,000 and took 200,000 women and children as prisoners of war. Non-combatants. Very great. Really, a little crazy here, huh? All right, but look what happens here. V'shama yon navi l'Hashem Odeid Shema. There was a prophet named Odeid. V'yetzei lifnei atzava ha'bal l'shomer. V'yomer l'hem. It's a long speech coming up. Okay? And he went to those who were holding these people captive. You know, you have food for 200,000 people. What are you going to do with them? Feed them for two days. They'll have a lot more dead people. So this is what he said. Don't think that you came to this glorious victory because of your own strength. You came to this victory because of their sinning. Your rod's in God's hand. You killed so many in anger. The numbers can reach the heavens. And now you want to turn these 200,000 people to be servants and bondswomen for you, and to use their children to bring them up as slaves. He's looking at you and he's saying, you're guilty because of your own deeds that you've come to this, that you've lost so many soldiers and now you're being sold into slavery. Now listen to me. Now he turns to the northern tribes. Return this captivity. Do not hold on to your brethren. God's anger will wax against you if you don't free them. Right? So some men from Ephraim went up, Azariah ben Yehochanan, Berechiah ben Mishlemos, Vechizkiah ben Shalom, Va'amasa ben Chadloi, Alaboim min Atzava. And these four leaders came to the... Now, when people came back from battle, they want to go and collect their spoils, including people. I just got myself, you know, who knows how many... Who's going to pick from the captives? Go, be happy. I'm taking you home. At that time, they're probably starving. Take me home. I'll give you some food. Now you'll be my slave for the rest of my life. Right? Do not take the captivities. It'll add more to your guilt, and it'll add sin to your guilt. Because our guilt will be great, and the anger of God will wax against us. So what did they do? They let go of the chalutz here. Terminology often used in battle. I think the word was pioneer now. So it says, Ve'ezova chalutza sashivya. They let go of the captivity, the sabiza and the spoils that they took from them. They spread them out. They spread them out in front of the officers, in front of the entire community. And they went out, all the influential people went out and assured, and they gave chizuk, and they said, all of the those who were unclothed, they gave them clothing for the spoils. They dressed them, they put sandals on them. They fed them. They gave them drink. They put on anointments. And they put them on animals so they wouldn't have to walk if they stumbled. And they brought them, all 200,000 of them, to Yericho, to a place that's close to where they needed to go, and they all returned back to Shomron. Wow.
Sounds good.
Wow. This prophet Odeid, whoever heard of him, he got them to give back these 200,000 people.
Okay.
In Maseches Sota, when it talks about the rules of engagement in battle, when the king, when the Kohen Gadol has to speak to the people who's afraid, who just planted the vineyard, who just got married, who just built a house, you know, go back home, don't go to battle if you didn't finish off these things. So one of the things at the end of the story is he reads these psukim. He says, you're going out now to fight a formidable enemy. They're not people who will, and then he reads this, who will do these things to you if you're taken captive. So be mighty, be strong, do not falter, do not fall, because in this story, your brethren, your cousins did this for you, but the enemy that you're fighting now won't do that. He sent a message to the king of Ashur to help him. Help him from what? From the threat from Aram and the northern kingdom. Not only that, Edomites, who we fought with just recently. Now Edomites says, I'm not afraid of them anymore. Philistines also fought against us. That's Vishbhushan. It doesn't say Beersheba, but that was probably a big prize for them. They didn't get to get that. Right? And the Philistines also chipped away about down at the south of Israel. Right? And this is like the Rambam likes to do. Ki yichni Hashem es Yehuda b'avorcha az melech Yisrael. Ki yifriya b'Yehuda ma'ol mal b'Hashem. Hashem subdued Yehuda because of Achaz, the king of it. Now here it's a little difficult. It's Malach. Achaz Malach Israel.
Achaz
Malach Yehuda.
Lost.
Yeah.
He just lost, and now he's going to fight. And they just got back their captives, and now he's going to fight.
He's looking for help from Assyria. He sent a bribe to the Assyrians to help him. Okay. Here he's called Ochaz Melech Yisrael. That's strange, right?
You mean that king Ahaz?
He's not the king of Yehuda. He's not the king of all of Israel. At that time, he said, Pekach ben Remaliyahu is the king of Israel. Ki yifriya b'Yehuda ma'ol mal b'Hashem. He disturbed Israel. He went against their better interests in order to fulfill his own desire for Me'ilah, for rebellion.
And that's after Israel had just returned their captives.
Now, there is some bit of political intrigue that's going on at this time, which we don't know from Divrei Yamim, or nor from Malachim, by that matter. It's a very rare case where a prophet in Nevi'im helps reveal to us what's going on in parallel. That Navi is Yeshayahu. Okay, I'm going to start that Nevi'im now. We're going to continue with it, because this is a good place to stop historically. But I'll give you the historical background, right? Continue with Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Chav, right? Here is the political background. Assyria is... It's amazing how things can change so quickly in the geopolitical arena. Assyria is becoming a very powerful entity. And they're threatening the whole world. And they will. They're going to take over. Many a nation just ceased to exist after what Assyria did to them. Right? So the northern tribes forged a peace pact with Aram, their traditional enemy for so long. Right? Aram has been our most consistent enemy in Tanakh. Right? Until this time. Asher was a formidable enemy, but for a much shorter period of time. So the northern kingdom, Pekah, and the king of Aram, who was named Ritzin, they forged a peace pact and wanted Achaz to join them. Achaz is inclined to do so and wants to do so. He wants the protection. It's better for him. Those guys are between me and Asher. Right. But unbeknownst to Achaz, they wanted just to get him off his guard and obviously disobeying Odeid, take over Yehuda. They even had his prophet names his replacement, Toval. You know what I'm talking about? Yeshayahu. Chapter 7 of Yeshayahu. Maybe a homework assignment. Read the first 15 psukim of chapter 7 of Yeshayahu. So Yeshayahu begs Achaz, don't give in to that coalition. whoever's in that coalition will be destroyed. He actually gives, he tells him the time frame. Aram is about to be destroyed, and the 10 tribes will go 10 years later. And indeed, 732, Aram was destroyed. 722, the 10 tribes were destroyed. The end. Right? Ahaz says, I can't stand up to Ashur alone. And I can't stand up to Aram and the northern tribes. They're threatening me too if I don't join them. I'm going to join it. So Yishayahu just says, no, it's devastating. It'll be devastating for you if you do that. So he tells him that ask for a sign from God. Ask for as high as the heavens, as low as the depths. I make Sha'ola and ask anything you want. God will show you. He'll show you a miracle in order to convince you to have faith. Because I'm not testing God. I don't want to do anything. Not because he looked in us. Because Yishayahu reacts with guile. He says, how long will you tire me and my God? I'll give you the sign. You know what the sign is? Okay, that's what we'll start with next week. Okay? The sign that Yishayahu gave him so that he should have faith in God. Okay. If only Yishayahu would know what harm was caused by that sign. I'm not sure if he would have used it. But we'll talk about that next week.